Here's a $6 million question I'm going to start with this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So then you would agree nothing is impossible with God. For people who have become children of God, I would dare say most of them would agree nothing is impossible with God. But now let me ask you this. Is everything possible for the one who believes? Okay, I see a lot of head shaking in the right direction. The answer would be yes. All right. But since most of you have heard a message over the last few weeks that focused on that particular statement, I would venture to guess that you would say yes. Everything is possible for the one who believes. But what if that same question was posed to the general populace of people who are followers of Christ? What would they say? If someone just walked up to the average Christian and said, "Everything is possible for the one who believes," my hunch is significantly fewer people would say yes to that question. And the reason I believe many followers of Christ would answer that way is because although they might agree that nothing is impossible with God, since God is perfect and all-powerful and therefore He can do anything, I would think a number of them would have a more difficult time believing everything is possible for the one who believes, because that interjects human beings into the equation who aren't perfect and who aren't all-powerful. Even so, did not Jesus say in Mark 9:23, everything is possible for the one who believes? Now let me ask you this. When we think about something being possible, even in the natural, does that mean everyone obtains or accomplishes those things that are possible? Let me ask it again. When we think about something being possible, even in the natural, does that mean everyone obtains or accomplishes those things that are possible? Not everyone does, do they? So just because something is possible, we realize that doesn't mean it always becomes a reality in every person's experience. So would you agree then, for something that is possible to become a reality in a person's life, it will require that that person do some things to make that reality exist? Would you agree with that? So, if something's possible, it means it can be done, but you have to go beyond that it can be done. You have to go into taking some actions that pursue it actually occurring. That's what takes it out of the realm of possibility and puts you on the road of seeing what is possible become real. This can be illustrated, for example, like someone pursuing a college degree, right? It is possible in this country to get a college degree, would you agree? But does that mean everyone gets one? No. It is possible to drive out west and see the Grand Canyon. Has anyone not experienced that possibility? Okay. Bless God, I've had the fortune of doing that. But just because that's possible doesn't mean it's a reality in everyone's life. And so let's look back then at Jesus' statement one more time. Everything is possible for the one who believes. When Jesus made this statement, he wasn't just talking about natural things. He was actually talking about supernatural things. And we know this because Jesus said this in the context of a boy being delivered of a demon that had been tormenting him for a long time. How many of you think that's a supernatural phenomenon, not just a natural one? Right? Any of you ever with your natural eyes seen a demon. But we know according to the Word of God they exist, and I've seen the results of one before. Let me tell you, when we were in Nicaragua, it was pretty evident when the person was rolling around on the floor and screaming. There's no human person that would, and she was a very sane person before this happened. No one would do that unless something was seriously mentally a problem, which that was not the case, or this thing decided it wanted to rise up and create issues. And so we saw that supernatural phenomena unfolding, much like what the disciples were seeing here, and this father was asking Jesus to help this boy with. Now, even though Jesus made this statement that everything is possible to the one who believes, and he applied it to supernatural possibilities, does that mean that every person who believes will acquire or accomplish all the things that are supernaturally possible? See, we understand that in the natural sense of things, don't we? But the same holds true in the supernatural realm as well. Just because a person believes doesn't automatically mean they're going to experience the supernatural realities that follow the possibilities. But according to Jesus, could they? Is it possible that they experience the supernatural? Obviously, the answer is yes, because he said everything. And I don't think that means some pie-in-the-sky spiritualized idea. I believe that Jesus meant everything. And again, when he was talking supernatural. So everything is possible for the one who believes. And just as a reminder of what we've looked at over these last few weeks, here's what is possible again for the child of God. We'll look at them one at a time. Number one, every part of our natural being, in other words, our heart, soul, and body, can be conformed into the image of Christ. Number two, we can now be vessels or conduits through which God's heavenly kingdom is manifested in the earth and the Great Commission is fulfilled. That is a possibility now for those who are children of God. And then finally, we can resist the devil and overcome his schemes. We've been looking at every one of those possibilities over the last 3 weeks. And so since all of these are possible, here are some questions I would like us to begin pondering. What do you think keeps many of God's children from experiencing these supernatural possibilities in their own lives and in their ministry to others? Okay? We know it's possible, but we know not everybody experiences these possibilities in their own life or in their ministry as they're ministering to other people. So the big question is, why is that? What do you think keeps many of God's children from experiencing these supernatural possibilities in their own lives and in their ministries to other, in ministry to others? Question number two. What actions, in addition to believing, do you think God's children need to engage in order to see these supernatural possibilities become realities in the natural realm? These are thought-provoking questions, aren't they? Because if we accept the fact that we agree with what Jesus said, that it's possible, and yet it's not happening, then we've got to start wrestling with what can we do to take it from the realm of possibility and bring it into the realm of reality. So that's the second question. Let me say it again. What actions, in addition to believing, do you think God's children need to engage in order to see these supernatural possibilities become realities in the natural realm? Question number three. As God's children engage in these additional actions, what kind of perseverance and time commitment do you think is necessary in order to see these supernatural possibilities become realities? See, many people have this idea that we should just snap our finger and that we should just pray a prayer. Jesus, heal this situation. Take care of this problem. Meet this financial need in my life. And we should just be able to wave our hand, and then all of a sudden God just boom. But how many passages are we aware of in Scripture that talk about persevering, enduring to the end, persisting in faith? Right? See, we've become a microwave culture. We want instant this and instant that. A man by the name of Dutch Sheets said, though, that God's not into microwaving, he's into marinating. How many know a marinated piece of meat tastes a whole lot better than a microwave piece of meat? Amen? See, we want instant. And I do believe over time that as our faith grows and we learn how to apply the principles of God's Word and take the appropriate actions, I do believe that things can speed up in terms of our experiencing the supernatural. But especially when we first begin learning and stepping out in faith and taking these actions, there are just times we're going to have to persist. We're going to have to persevere. We're going to have to keep trying. So when we lay hands on somebody and we speak to some area of their body and it doesn't get healed instantly, do we just say, well, it must be it's God's will that he doesn't heal them? Is that what Jesus said? Everything is possible for those who believe? Or is it it's just, you got to keep working at it. You've got to keep persevering. You've got to keep persisting until the answer comes. Because it is possible, but you're going to have to grow before what is possible becomes real in your experience. Okay? So question number four. What barriers and challenges do you think exist that resist the faith of God's children and that deter them from taking the actions necessary to see supernatural possibilities become realities? You think there's any barriers or challenges to our faith that try to deter us from persevering? That try to deter us from believing it really is possible? That try to deter us from believing that God's will is just as it is in heaven? He wants to see it happen in the earth? Do you think that there's anything going on out there that would try to deter us from believing those things and therefore persevering and acting upon those truths until we see results? We know that there's barriers. There's barriers in this world. There's spiritual barriers. Would you agree? How many know the demons don't want you to experience God's will? Because then you'll start really believing. And you really start manifesting the kingdom of God. And other people will observe it and experience it. And his kingdom will start going in the tank and God's kingdom will start increasing. So there is a real, real spiritual warfare that takes place to try to keep us from seeing God's possibilities become realities. And then the final question is this: what will God's children need to do to discover and overcome the barriers and challenges they experience so that they will see and experience the natural realm, in the natural realm, what already exists in the spiritual realm in God's kingdom. Let me say that again. What will God's children need to do to discover and overcome these barriers and challenges so they see and experience in the natural realm what already exists in the spiritual realm in God's kingdom? Do you see the progressive move I'm making with these questions? See, there's this idea in the church that the supernatural is just all about what God wants to do. And sometimes He chooses to do it, and sometimes He chooses not to do it. And we can't figure out why, right? Why is it God's will to heal this person but not heal this person? Well, because He's God and He's sovereign, and so He knows what's best and He chooses. That's how we spiritually rationalize away that everything is possible for the one who believes. See how that's contradictory? Those two terms are in contrast with those two concepts are in contrast with one another? See, everything is possible for those who believe. But the truth is, it will take more than just believing to see supernatural possibilities become natural realities. Do you know what I mean by that? Supernatural possibilities is what is a reality in the spiritual realm, but your natural senses cannot see, taste, touch, smell, or hear it. Right? So, therefore, in the natural, it's still just a possibility, even though in the spiritual realm, it is a reality. It's a spiritual reality. And so, therefore, in the natural realm, it makes it a possibility. But the Bible says that we can take those possibilities through faith and, of course, some other actions and make those possibilities not only a spiritual reality, but a natural reality. That can happen. That's what Jesus means by everything is possible for those who believe. But here's what it's going to require. It's going to require learning and applying some other spiritual principles and actions that exist in God's Word if we want to see these kinds of things happen. Let me say that again. In order to experience in the natural what does exist in the spiritual, it's going to require learning and applying some other spiritual principles and actions that exist in God's Word if we want to see what is possible spiritually become actual naturally in this earthly realm. So you got to get your mind around the fact that, again, I've shared this before, we live in this physical natural realm in a lower dimension than the spiritual realm. The higher dimension is a greater dimension than we are. And so the only way that you can access that is not by our senses. It requires faith. And so that's why faith, Jesus said, everything is possible to the one who believes. So you can't access that higher dimension that's beyond us without faith. But if you have it, great. That's the first step. That's the foundational requirement. But after that, it's going to require some other biblical principles and actions to be applied in order to bring what's heavenly to earth, what's spiritual into the natural. Okay? Well, here's a foundational truth that must be understood. The spiritual principles and actions that make supernatural possibilities a reality directly correspond with how God has designed us as His children. Let me say this again. This is why I've been talking to you about spirit, soul, and body throughout these messages. Because God, the way God has designed us, created us in His image, is what makes it possible for the spiritual realm to come into the natural realm and change things. It all has to do with the way God has designed us, created us as human beings, because we were created in His image. All right? And so He was Father. He exists Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune. Again, I'm just repeating things that we've said throughout this series. We're created in a triune fashion of spirit, soul, and body. So we just are a mirror image. We just are a picture of the reality of who God is. But it's through that design that makes supernatural things not only possible, but through our design, that those possibilities can become realities. All right? Not only are we created spirit, soul, and body, but as I've also shared in previous messages, our spirit, the inner core of who we are, is also where our identity exists. And so if we've been born again, our identity is we are a child of God. And so both the fact that we are spirit, soul, and body, and that our identity exists within our spirit, these truths all relate to spiritual realities. Would you agree? Not just natural realities. Now, that's because, again, our spirit, the Bible says when we're born again, we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, correct? I'm still on earth. I mean, my body, my mind is still here. I don't know about you. I'm not seeing the things of heaven with my natural eyes right now. How about you? Okay? So to be seated in heavenly places, that can only be in relationship to our spirit. And we have received already every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 1:3. I know I keep repeating these things, but I want, if you don't get a hold of the spiritual realm and natural realm, then this is, we have no grid for this, if that makes sense. Okay? And so here's those two realities. So spiritually, we are seated in heavenly places, and we are now reunited with God through Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, and we are now in our identity. Since our identity is related to our spirit, we are children of God. Does this make sense? Okay? I know this is starting to get a little deep. That's why I'm really trying to take it slow. And if I have to, I'm going to be repetitive because I want this to get down in your heart. Okay? I don't want to just breeze by and have you miss this, because these are foundational truths in order to experiencing the supernatural. And so once you were born again and became a child of God, how many of you instantly no longer struggled with believing in your mind and feeling in your emotions that you weren't a child of God? Right? You were born again, so you were seated in heavenly places, you received every spiritual blessing in Christ, your identity now became, I'm a child of God. Did you instantly in your feelings and in your thoughts think that? You probably didn't feel any different, did you? That's because your spirit isn't subject to your nervous system or your emotions. Right? Because that's a part of your soul and your body. So you didn't feel anything. And you may have struggled with even believing differently than what the Bible actually says about you. And so you went through this wrestling match. And if you've done that, then what you've been looking at is not your spirit. You've been looking at something in your emotions, something in the natural realm, in terms of maybe you've looked at your own failures or your own flaws. And you looked at those things and you said, if this is how I act, how could I possibly be a child of God? Ever had those kinds of thoughts? And yet the truth is, regardless of those things, if you've been born again, you are a child of God. Those, see, are spiritual realities. The fact that you're a child of God, that's a spiritual reality. Well, listen, in order to experience what is supernatural in the natural realm, that means this. That means we have to take what we already know and possess in the heavenly realm within our spirit by faith, according to what God's Word says, right? Whoops. According to the Word of God, we are children of God. We are seated in heavenly places. Our identity is in Christ. And so, in order to experience supernatural things, that means we have to take what we already know and possess in the heavenly realm within our spirit and transfer those things into the natural realm, which means they will be deposited within our heart, our soul, our body, and the world around us so that they are experienced by people's natural senses. In other words, they'll now be able to see, taste, touch, smell, and hear them. Okay? So, healing. Let's just use healing as an example. How many know there's no sick bodies in heaven? How many know there's no sickness in your spirit? There's no brokenness. There's no disease. And so, the way we experience the supernatural is we transfer what exists in the spiritual realm into the natural realm. Does this make sense? Okay? Now, in future weeks, we're going to talk a whole lot about what that requires, because that goes back to these principles and actions we got to take on top of our belief. Does this make sense? But right now, I want you to see how this happens. See, for you to be healed supernaturally, that just simply means you got to transfer something from the spiritual realm that exists in your spirit and transfer it into your body or possibly your soul. Anybody ever had soul wounds? People have hurt you, betrayed you, rejected you. And you walk around with hurt and bitterness or maybe unforgiveness or fear or feelings of abandonment or rejection. And you live with those soul wounds. Well, guess what? God wants to transfer the health that you experience in your spirit into your soul. And yes, He even wants to do it into your body. I do believe Jesus said everything is possible for the one who believes. Correct? And so for that to happen, there's got to be a transference. All right? Well, that's what I want to begin looking at as we move forward in the weeks ahead now. How do we take what God has made supernaturally possible and experience it as a reality in the natural realm? Anybody like to know some answers to that question? Right? So in other words, how do we take what is a spiritual reality in God's kingdom and make it a natural reality in the earth? Well, the truth is, there really is not a simple and short answer to that question. And there's not just one answer to that question. It requires a whole lot of answers. And so it's something like, you know, for example, if somebody said to you, how do you build a skyscraper with all its fixings? There's not going to be one simple answer to that question, is there? You're going to have to know a number of different things, all right? And a little bit at a time, you certainly don't build the whole skyscraper all at once. You may need to learn about, how to lay the foundation and how to do the walls and the electrical and the plumbing and, I mean, all the different things that are involved with it, okay? And so for someone to say, come on, just give me one simple answer, how do you build a skyscraper? You're going to say, I can't answer that question in one simple answer. And so I can't do that either for you in terms of how to access and operate in the supernatural. But what I do believe God wants us to do, and I believe much of the church is ignorant of, is the various steps and processes that are required to see that happen. Anybody want in on some of that? I believe that's what God has called the church to. And so, we're going to get into that. Now, there are a number of principles and actions that we will need to learn and apply in order for that to happen. All right? And the reason I believe it will require learning and applying these principles and actions on a pretty significant level is because there have been some significant systems of thought that have come to exist both within our culture and in the church that make it very difficult for people to access the supernatural. All right? Now, I say this for this reason. Because people have read this in Jesus' day, they'll say things like, well, if the supernatural really exists, it shouldn't be all that difficult. Because for heaven's sakes, Jesus called the 12, and it wasn't very long, and the 72, and it wasn't very long, and we read those passages in a previous message. He sent them out and said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely give, freely you've received, freely give, you know, and preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. They didn't have to go through all this training that I'm telling you you're going to need in order to access the supernatural. So why do we have to go through all this? Why do we have to go through this arduous process of understanding these principles and actions? Why can't we be just like them? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's because they weren't inundated with a lot of theological garbage that would have been poured at us in later generations that actually resist the supernatural. Okay? And so, anybody curious to know what those things are that exist in our culture and our church in the church today that keep us make it difficult for us to access supernatural things? Anybody interested in knowing what they could be? All right, good. I'm glad you asked. All right. Number one, I'm going to say this. Modern science and technology has come to emphasize and teach a system of thought that says our problems must be solved and our needs must be met through some form of natural means. Let me say that again. modern science and technology, how many know we're all exposed to that? Well, that system has come to emphasize and teach that a particular system of thought that says our problems must be solved and our needs must be met through some form of natural means. How many know that began with a man named Darwin? Right? The evolutionary revolutionary. Not in a good way, but he was revolutionary. And his thoughts, because the church didn't have any answer to respond to things he was purporting, was rejected in his day. And even today, people will say science and religion can't go together, which is hogwash. Well, we'll get into that. But here's some of the ways that natural means that we believe now we have to have our problems solved and our needs met. Medicine, physical treatments and therapies, technological advancements, etc. Now, this system of thinking, I'm going to call it natural thinking, has especially been perpetuated by people who are agnostics and atheists. Okay? And here's where this has become a problem for many Christians. It's because many segments of the church have bought into this philosophy and has joined in the pursuit of experiencing health and blessing through natural means while neglecting the pursuit God has given us in His Word of how to experience health and blessing through spiritual means. Let me say that again. Many segments of the church have bought into the philosophy and have joined in the pursuit of experiencing health and blessing through natural means while neglecting the pursuit of God that God has given us in His Word on how to experience health and blessing through spiritual means. And because of this, listen, much of the church is ignorant of the spiritual principles and actions that are required to access health and blessing through supernatural means. And therefore, significant segments of the church don't even know or believe that supernatural things are possible, let alone could become a reality. All right? Now listen, I want you to hear me. Does that mean I'm against the advancements of natural science and the advancements that natural science and technology have provided? That is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater. What I am saying is we've so focused, even in the church, on the natural side of things that we've neglected the spiritual side of things. Think of how the church could be functioning supernaturally if we pursued and we sought to put the same amount of energy in learning biblical, spiritual, supernatural principles as we do in the sciences of how to figure out how the body works and the bone structure and the muscle structure and the blood and the physiological systems. And man, I took anatomy and physiology in college. Okay? So I'm not against that. Praise God. The natural sciences have brought many wonderful blessings to this world. Would we agree? I'm thankful my mother-in-law was able to go have a shoulder replacement. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm frustrated that we don't have more people in the church that understand, including myself, yet. How many know, just like we pursue, we progress in our understanding of the sciences, we need to progress in our understanding of how to operate in the supernatural. And I'm frustrated that I'm not even there yet. But I know it's in God's Word, and I know if the church really believed it and really started pursuing it, we would surpass the natural sciences because we'd know as effectively how to operate in the supernatural as a doctor knows how to operate in the natural systems. So I'm not throwing it out. Please don't hear me say that. I'm not denigrating what doctors and the medical advancements have produced. What I am denigrating is the church because she's bought into the natural system more than God's system. The church believes more in the natural than they do the spiritual. But who are we? We're the children of God. So why are we doing this? Why are we not equally pursuing the principles and actions that we need to take to access the supernatural? So that, guess what? When natural means fall short, supernatural means can pick up where natural means can't even touch some things. How many know we've not figured out how to cure every disease and every situation? And I know that, and look at the money and the efforts that are being made through natural systems to try to get rid of this. And praise God. But you know what's happened? Many in the church have bought into that's the only way of doing it. And they are neglecting the supernatural. Well, I don't want to do that. How about you? And so we're going to pursue. Praise God for the natural means, but I want to add to it. I don't want to take away. I want to add to. I want to tap into the spiritual realm. How many know God's the creator of the natural realm? Right? And so through how he's designed us, I want to tap into the spiritual realm. The other part of this is that not only does the scientific and technological worlds have they communicated this system of thought, there's also a system of thought that exists in the church. And that is that supernatural things ended with the days of the apostles. And so, and now that we have the Bible, we don't need the supernatural anymore. And so think about how that lends itself to coupling with what science and technology says. And so not only does that part of the church neglect the supernatural, they reject the supernatural. Right? How many think if Jesus said everything is possible to the one who believes, how many think these systems of thought are going to make it very difficult to even believe, let alone start pursuing principles and actions that access the supernatural? Right? So we're already behind the eight ball, if you will. Because you got to at least believe. And we've got the world that doesn't believe. And we've got many segments in the church that don't believe. So what's left over? Those of us who do. And you know what? We are going to have to get proficient in accessing the supernatural if we ever hope to make believers out of the agnostics and the atheists and even a segment of Christians, right? They're going to have to experience it via us. But how many of us would say we're deficient in knowing how? Would you agree with that? Do you want to know how? I want to know how. I want to grow in it. Let's start doing some spiritual experimentations, right? Isn't that how science is advanced in the natural? They try this, it didn't work. Oh well, let's move on to the next thing. Let's try this, that didn't work. Look at Thomas Edison. I think there was about 1,000 different types of materials he tried to use in a filament to create the light bulb. That's natural science, would you agree? And moving towards technology. But you know what happens when we do that in the church? You're a heretic. You're a false prophet. You're a false teacher. Because for heaven's sakes, I try something and it didn't work. You're distorting the word of God. No. I'm just trying to learn from the Word of God and admit that I don't have it all figured out on how to access something supernatural. So I'm trying some things. Why can't we do spiritual experimentation? Why can't we try some things? So if it doesn't work, okay, well, that's check that off the list. Let's try this. Right? We can be like that. And so we need to throw out these systems of thought. Okay? I probably should get to a passage of Scripture since I'm a preacher, shouldn't I? I've been really trying to lay some groundwork today. Okay? And so I'm just going to end with one passage of Scripture today that shows you this principle of the spiritual realm in the natural realm, and how we need to transfer that which is in the spiritual realm to the natural realm. We're going to look at Hebrews 10, 14 through 18. I'm not even going to spend a lot of time on it. I just want you to see that there is biblical foundation for this principle that I'm telling you about. That in our identity and who we are in the heavenly places, it's got to be transferred into the natural. Let's look at, again, Hebrews 10, 14 through 18. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That right there almost sounds like a contradiction in terms. If you've already been made perfect forever, then why in the world do you also need to be made holy since you're already perfect? Does that make sense to you? And that's all in the same sentence. Right? For by one sacrifice, whose sacrifice? Jesus. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The reason that's the case is because the first phrase, made perfect forever, is talking about our spirit. And being made holy, which means to be set apart, is talking about our heart, our soul, and our body. How many know in your heart, in your mind, will, and emotions, and in your body, you're not fully set apart, dedicated completely, 100%, no holds barred, to the Lord? Right? But now your spirit, that's a different story, isn't it? That's seated in heavenly places. That's already experiencing every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that word perfect really means complete or mature. All right? Now I don't have time. We're going to have to run this in to next week. But I'm going to capitalize. I'm going to key off of that next week, because you know there's a passage in another passage in Hebrews which talks about that Jesus, the Son of God, was made perfect through suffering. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was already perfect. right? Without sin, right? So what does that mean? I'll just let you think on that for a week. But for right now, by one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever, meaning your sins have been forgiven, you've been seated, you've been placed in Christ, right? And so in him, based on where you were incomplete, you have now been made complete in Christ. That's what that means, in your spirit. But now, through that happening, it says, by the one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever. Forever, that's eternity, that's the heavenly realm. Those who are being made holy. And see, your being made holy wouldn't even be possible unless the other first happened. Does this make sense? So being made holy is transferring what you've become in your spirit progressively to your heart, your soul, mind, emotion, and will, and your body. That's what's called spiritual growth. That's why the Bible says we can be conformed into the image of Christ. Remember, I told you that was a possibility? Well, the way that that possibility becomes a reality is that which you are in your spirit, made complete, continuously gets transferred into your heart, into your soul, and into your body. And you become more and more and more like Jesus. And how many know that's a process? Remember one of the questions I asked? How much perseverance and time will it take for that which is spiritual to become a reality in the natural? In some cases, it's going to take a lifetime. A lifetime of different spiritual moments. You'll have a moment here. There'll be a growth spurt. You'll have a moment over there. There'll be a growth spurt. And those happen in instantaneous moments. But it's when we link together all those spiritual moments that we become conformed in the image of Christ. Would you agree? And so put that up there one more last time. I'm just going to breeze through the rest of the verse. It says, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. Here it is. After that time, says the Lord, what time? The time that he made perfect forever those who are being made holy, right? It says, after that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts. How many know God's laws are established in the heavenly places first? But then he's going to deposit them in our hearts. And I will write them on your minds. That's part of the soul. And then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, now he's going back to the Spirit, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. See how he keeps rocking back and forth between spirit and between spiritual and natural, spiritual and natural, spiritual and natural. The way that the natural becomes transformed is there is a transference from the spiritual. And you see that principle in this passage. Take that away this week, okay? I want to ask you to meditate on this. Let that get down in your heart. Whether you know it or not, it's already in your spirit. In your spirit's just anticipating. It's been, oh, these are the days I've been waiting for. that the natural man will actually open himself or herself up to what I already know, what I'm already experiencing. And by faith, they're now going to let the spirit part of your being transform the natural parts of your being. Does that sound exciting? That is exciting to me. Amen? And again, week by week, we're going to look at the different principles and processes of action that we need to take according to God's word to see these things happen. But I will tell you this, I can teach you the principles and I can tell you about the actions, but just like myself, you're going to have to do the work. Just because you know it in your head, that just, and you believe it, that makes it still a possibility. You're going to have to do the spiritual experiments that are required for you to take the spiritual principles, just like a doctor is going to have to take scientific principles and apply them and experiment with them until he gets results. You're going to have to do the same thing. I can give you the principles and I can teach you the action steps, but I can't do them for you. You're going to have to do the spiritual experiments. You're going to have to do the hard work. You're going to have to, even though this didn't work, you're not going to say, well, it must be it's not God's will. You're going to say, no, it is God's will. I just haven't figured out how to put this together yet to get the supernatural to come into the natural. But I am determined to pursue until it happens. I'm going to be a spiritual Thomas Edison. I'm going to keep trying, and I'm going to keep persevering, and I'm going to keep believing, and I know that in time, through my perseverance, I will lay hold of what's spiritual in the natural. Amen? So here we go, folks. We're now springboarding. We're going beyond just the realm of possibility now. We're going to step into what can we do to make supernatural things a reality. Let's pray.